Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Opening the Doors of Heaven with Alim. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations and a glimpse into the world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here is your host, Alim.
Hello, my beloved light family, and welcome. It's been a beautiful day. The sun is just setting over the Pacific Ocean here in the little coastal town of Newport where we are. And what a delight to share this last hour of the day with you. I know that some of you listen from overseas, and who knows, you may just be getting up. We've got a very interesting topic today, and also I want to just catch you up on some of the fascinating things that have happened even in the last 2 days. For those of you that are following my diary every day, you will be up to date with some of it, but I'll give you a little more. We're talking tonight about changing the destiny of man. Man's destiny is the microcosm of the macrocosm is explained, and how it came about and why it has changed. Let's just start with that. We're going to also speak about a few other topics, and I'd like to sneak a few in because when we write these things in advance, I don't always, of course, know what's going to happen because it's day by day that there are changes or deepening of information and so on, hence the blog diary. My brothers and sisters, we are on the point of putting the Alchemy website up for you. I want to tell you that the most beautiful, beautiful, magical information is flooding every day. I really strive to put balance in my day, but I literally could be writing all day long. We're getting magic that is the magic of immortality. And today I was told by the Infinite that I needed to prepare, I needed to sit down and write the first sort of basic article so people even understand what immortality is. And then the serpent magic, which goes up the spine, is being released to us, and it's the magic of immortality. So the only way that I can get this to you is I can get bits and pieces of what happens day by day on our blog diary. But the best thing for me to do, and I've been doing this at quite a rapid pace. In fact, it's been about 12 websites that I've written in 12 weeks. So I write a website a week. And the website that I've just completed writing is the website of the ancient earth shamanism. And bits and pieces of it is on the blog. But what I finally have shared, and it's fascinating because I was in Ohio and I remember the class was with me and Mother was speaking to us and she said, Almin may want to write about her experiences because for 5 years I lived as a shaman amongst the native tribes of North America. And I said, I didn't hear that because I just couldn't bring myself to be writing one more book. We are currently writing, you know, Realms of Innocence and Secrets of the Ancients and waiting for Windows into Eternity to come out, plus a website a week, and each one is really a little book. I said, I didn't hear that. She repeated it again. I said, I didn't hear that. Well, it's written. Mother wins. And I have finished the shamanism site that gives the secrets of the way to live in shamanic consciousness. That is the good thing that we can get from when the indigenous tribes of the earth was in balance. We have to, however, go beyond their roots to find the original shamanism. They gave rise to the indigenous shamanisms, and by indigenous, I mean every race. You know, we have the white shamans in Siberia, in Lapland, all over the world. They're in all races. But we had the Master Christie in our Ohio class, had this beautiful Native American spirit speak through her, and I translated as rapidly as I could as she was speaking, asking us please to restore the wholeness and inclusiveness of the original Earth Shamanism. And so we have just begun to do that. And the website is complete and written. It's about the size of half of one of my books. And I wrote that with my wonderful class in Toronto. And then, my brothers and sisters, I'm actually coming out and giving the deep magic of immortality, as I just mentioned earlier, and it's pouring in today. And it will be on Way of the Toltec Nagual.com. And I've actually completed writing the whole website again this last week, except that I was waiting because Mother said the magic piece has to come in and just to wait. Well, today it started. And our oracles are already starting to receive the hexagons, which are the sacred symbols of serpent magic that works with activating the kundalini in the spine to bring about the immortality of man. So that will be added to it, which is a matter of a day or two of writing for me, and then we're done with that as well. You know, we have my beautiful sister Hong An catching up as rapidly as she can. We have two other people we're working with trying to keep pace with these websites. And thank you to my sister Hong An, or we wouldn't even have the ones we have up right now. She finally took over the Alchemy website because the wait was getting too long. And thank you to her. You will have access to it, if not already, within a few days. So, to continue, let us talk about the destiny of man because it pertains to what I've just said. My brothers and sisters, we are receiving the middle ring, the magic of the infinite. We are receiving around that the deeper information of Isis, our beautiful sister from Slovenia, one of the masters that is from the Irish class, had just reminded me that we needed to get the brand new astrology because we have multiple times said that the sky is not as it seems. A new heavens has in fact happened as predicted in the book of Revelation, except we can't see it yet. Fortunately, some of my students are now starting to see it. We had an incident in Colorado where somebody there could see that there was a huge piece of the Orion constellation missing. And so as we start to see it, others around us will see it. It's that hundredth monkey syndrome. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to bring in also the Isis new astrology. It's written in the libraries of Isis. Mother told me that the day before yesterday. So all I need to do is go and find it and write it down for us. But that, plus the magic of the dove, which is in Windows into Eternity very comprehensively, and also the magic of the serpent, which is that which is just now coming through. It's part of the ancient Toltec origins that they held. Immortality has never been a stranger to a Toltec Nagual. They have always known that if they know how to do it, they can slip by even the last enemy, which is death. And then around that, we've got the seven bodies of plant magic. And for that, I highly recommend that you go to our website because I've been putting it on there quite comprehensively just because it's so magnificent. We were given seven windows. The seven windows had specific plants in them. I don't know because, to tell you the truth, I'm like a scribe that scribes as fast as I can and don't get the chance to practice it unless somebody asks me a question. But I don't know if those seven windows are groups of plants in which all plants fall into or if there are more than seven windows. But there are seven for the ring of seven around the three. when you go through the first window of plant magic, which is like mugwort, there are seven gates of mugwort. The magic of plants is as potent as ayahuasca. It's as altering to life without being detrimental to the fields and the assemblage points like the use of marijuana and some of the others. Yet, every time you use it, you improve life. That's the big deal. Because when you use the other plants, you may temporarily gain insight, but you actually lose it on the back end because you gain it at the expense of the environment. The true plant magic that superseded all of the traditional plants teachings that are being given by the indigenous peoples over the last few thousand years, and our Oracle Todd in Toronto is busy receiving some of that just so we can show you what the new indigenous shamanism teaches about plants, because it has value, but it's just the skin of the onion. And, and it's medicinal and herbal, but there's a magic that lies within it. So if you go through the mirror of mugwort, which is the first mirror, there are seven gates to mugwort. There are seven things that mugwort can do to profoundly change your life. We just need it to have the bits and pieces of it. So I've given you that. That's on my diary. And also, my brothers and sisters, it's on the shamanism, that particular body of information. And also, I believe, on the whitemagic.com, incorruptiblewhitemagic.com website. So we have that. Around that, we have 12. And these are 12 underwater kingdoms. We have not even begun to tap into their magic. We just know who they are. We've had sigils from them, symbols, and they've made contact. They were speaking to many, many of my students, the masters that are in my class in Toronto, which was my last class. And then, in addition to that, around that we have 20. The 20 has the deep earth shamanism that predated all other shamanisms. It has the Ashanta serpent magic, which is a kingdom's magic. It's not the Kundalini magic, so we need to differentiate between the one of the three petals around the middle and this Ashanta serpent magic. It's a magic that uses sexuality, and they've already begun to give their information through the Oracle Alana, our Uzbekistani oracle. And I just, I haven't had the time to put it together because I've been writing so rapidly on the plant magic that I finished a day ago. And now I'm just starting to see this issue of the root, and the root magic has to do with the bottom coccyx bone of the spine. It's the spine's root. And I never knew it. And in the coccyx bone is all this magical coding that we're just given information to unleash. Then comes the serpent magic that will create a rotation of energy that goes up the spine that pulls continual energy like a loop through the earth. It pulls from the earth, but it also gives back to the earth. So it makes a loop that is not anything that is at any point going to stop the energy in your body. It's a constant energy source and resource provider so that you do not need to age. We have, in the 20 bodies of magic, we have got, among others, the wise one's magic. We have been receiving some of that. It's on the blog. There's more than we have on the blog. It's going on the websites. We have got the God Kingdom magic, which is just starting to come into the Oracle Ifa, Pulniki, our Polish Oracle. And again, I've been receiving the bits to put it together. She's receiving the symbols. But there are multiple magics, of course, in the 20, and part of it is the fairy magic. And our beloved Oracle Karen has been receiving from the fairies, as well as the Master Hong An. they've been receiving some input from the fairies, who also want to give their information, and the Oracle Shelley in Toronto, same thing. Also, the fairies are pouring magic through her on how to use their magic. I just have to put it all together. So we have around that the 34, and the 33, and the 33 is the magic of alchemy. Our alchemy website is either up or shall be up Monday or Tuesday. It's called wheelsofthegoddess.com. And then around that is the 54. And we have got the first layer up of alchemy. We have the first layer up of the divine architect creative principles. That should be up. And it's the way of the divine architect creative principles. And then, my brothers and sisters, we hope to create lectures on each of these websites that you can access. So please get ready for that, because we only have one level. There are 54 levels to the divine architect. There are 32 more levels to the alchemy, and so on. You can see, I mean, you access 7 mirrors of plant, and then each one of them has their own mirror. We have here 36, which are serpent magic octagons, but at the end of the day, each of them has bodies of magic within them. So to give you the multiple layers, I know we have a master in Malaysia that is very interested in studying the alchemy. Get your computers ready so that you can actually get these lectures. They will be paid lectures because, you know, I've been giving everything that I can as rapidly as I can away for free on these websites. But our lectures, I have to make those in addition to teaching classes and writing all of this. So we will be charging you for that. But get your computers ready, because this will be like the absolute ultimate Arcana University. Now, when we get back, I will talk to you about how this fits in with the destiny of man. We are, in fact, fulfilling it. Let's take a quick break.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back. My brothers and sisters, why exactly is it that if all these incredible, very, very powerful bodies of magic and the way to reveal the perfection of life is belonging to the various kingdoms, to the earth, to the great Ashanta serpents, to the little Divic realms, to the angelic realms, to the plant kingdom, why is it that we are able to get them all? That's because they originated all from us. You see, my job always has been, and I have mentioned this a few times on this show, but my job has been, since the Infinite Mother called me in February of 2005. Before that, I lived a very deeply shamanic life. I had been working with apprentices as a Toltec Nagual for several years prior to that. And prior to that, I spent 5 years working as a shaman amongst the indigenous tribes. I have seen things that most white people never get to see. I've been privileged enough to be let into their homes and their hearts and their sacred ceremonies. And I have taught at their lodges where no white person has ever taught. And amidst all of this, what I have learned from all of this, my brothers and sisters, is all that we have is the remnants that are left over. It is time for the restitution, and it's time for the restoration. All the work that Mother has called me to do, and Mother is the infinite. She just has, until very recently, appeared to me in feminine form. And the reason it was feminine form is we were in the dream. This is a very important weekend. I say this every weekend, but this is very important. And come Monday, you will feel the difference. There is a rebirthing going on cosmically. And the rebirthing has to do with creating more and more clarity and more purity as we have awakened out of the dream. And I'm going to speak to you about how that happened. It's in the dream time that the right brain dominates. And then right before the awakening, left and right brain together, if we spoke about this last week, very interesting topics last week. But then as you awaken, there needs to be this total balance. There is. So you can speak of the infinite as the divine hermaphrodite, half masculine, half feminine. Mother is still appearing to me in a feminine form, but she is adamant that she is the infinite, that it is both masculine and feminine. We just don't have the proper vocabulary for me to explain it each time I speak, so I speak yet of Mother. However, what I wish to explain to you is that as we awaken from the dream, man was lifted back up to where they came from. It began like this. When Mother called me, she said, "Gather the pillars of my temple. Those are the ones who, when I give these messages," I understand that to a lot of people it sounds totally, totally beyond what they can accept. And it should, because they're not the pillars of the temple. They are in the box of the known. And I am not a teacher that works with the known. The known is, of course, there, but it's incidental. And my search has been for the capstone. And the capstone, even though things may not, to their surface minds, make sense, their hearts can hear the truthfulness of it. Those are the capstone. Mother has sent me to fetch her capstone, the pillars of her temple. She has, over 5 years, told me, "Bring my children home." Well, during these years that I have been working with the infinite, the pillars of the temple were Mother and Father's, the infinite's, first creation. They were the first children to be created. You cannot imagine the joy when they find each other in my classes. In my Irish classes, the masters there are somehow the hub of multiple orders that go all over the world. And so usually in our Irish classes, we have, well, the last couple, we've had at least 18 nationalities represented in our small group of 35 people or so. At least 18 nationalities. But they immediately know one another, and they bond deeply and profoundly. You know, they're communicating to one another from Tasmania all the way to Malaysia, to Australia and Slovenia and Russia and all over the place. And they do this because of the fact that they know they have found their true soul group. These are the first children that were created. They were brothers and sisters made together. This is as close to soulmate as one can get. And they're all that to one another. Well, from these first creations, Mother calls them the gods and goddesses of the throne. The gods and goddesses of Agavavanti, which means the source of life. Those first ones, from them came humanity. And humanity and the earth are called the cradle of civilization. So from the cradle of civilization, the pedigrees of all the star races came about. But you can understand that the originators of these races were actually at the highest possible levels. However, when the circles happened, the cycles of ascension and descension that we write about in Giving Its History during the deepest stages of forgetfulness of the infinite, when it was not even in a lucid dream, we find that the humans came to be the lowest race. And it happened as the Earth was propelled from one star system to the other. When the Great Fall went into its final sort of 18 cycles of life, each trillions of years long, according to the history keepers of the planet, the Earth started in a binary star system that the Mormon people are very familiar with because Joseph Smith obtained a papyrus from an Egyptian tomb, and he had what's called a seer stone, a Urim and Thummim is what it's called in the Old Testament, and I write about it in Opening the Doors of Heaven. And he understood from this papyrus, which is in the book Opening the Doors of Heaven, you can look at it, and also in The Gift of the Unicorns. But in this papyrus, he writes about the fact that the earth came from Kolob and Oblish. And Oblish, or I'm sorry, I'm not entirely sure if it's Oblish or Oblish, but I think it's Oblish. And that's the Egyptian name for it. I know it as Melaganiga. And Melaganiga and Kolob are the two binary star system. Melaganiga is in fact the feminine and Kolob is the masculine. This is the star system from which the Earth originated after the last massive Big Bang that happened prior to the Great Fall. From there, she was repelled and went through star system after star system after star system, but every star system that she went through and was repelled from, she ended up in descension, descension, descension. This is not an accident. We came with her, the original sons and daughters of the infinite, the gods and goddesses of the throne. And many remember sitting on thrones. Many have seen themselves with their robes and their crowns. And so what happened is that we deliberately came down to the lowest, most dense levels, being nevertheless the greatest lights in the cosmos, our light obscured by flesh. We did this, my brothers and sisters, because who is the best suited to raise up a whole cosmos like Atlas carrying the heavens upon his shoulders? And maybe it wasn't Atlas that carried the heavens. I know certainly that he carried the earth. I think that there was also a carrying of heavens by somebody. But who better suited to do that? We're carrying the world on our shoulders. We are the pivot points. And within the cosmos, the earth is the pivot point. And humanity is the pivot point, and so forth. But we came down to the lowest level because it is from the densest level that we had to lift everything up. And so the cap of the pyramid turned to the bottom, and the pyramid turned upside down. And it's from the bottom that we've been lifting everything up. It has been our destiny to be the microcosm of the macrocosm. Why? Because our DNA is like the end with a knot in it that is being held of multiple, multiple strings. Imagine 96 strings going in all directions, creating the root races of the heavens. Where does it come together? In our DNA. Everything that's out there began here. We are the microcosm, therefore, of the macrocosm. We are the archetype. And it is for this that we could, by proxy, undertake such painful experiences in our life, and by overcoming it, lift up all other beings. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I will tell you how it's payback time. We did this great service. Now it comes back to us.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
My brothers and sisters, we have done what we were set out to do, We have fulfilled our destiny, and we have brought Mother's children home. There is one last step to this, and the step is that we get back what was ours to begin with. It is from us that each of these groups of beings, each of these kingdoms, including the God Kingdom, with its very, very potent magic, it is from us that they have received their magic. And it was the beautiful braid, what the English people would call the plait, the beautiful braid that became unraveled and went into its 130 different strings. But at the end of the day, it's time for us to get back the end of those strings. All of those forms of magic came from us to them. We are gathering it back. And why are we doing this? We have today done a most amazing thing. Early this morning, the Infinite put as the intent, which becomes, of course, the laws of reality, if you want to look at it as laws, but it becomes reality, put in the intent that all the emotions which we in Belvas Patah practice study separately, and that's fine, but as a matter of fact, they've become one. And it's the emotion, the combination of all of them together. See, again, the strings are becoming one braided lot. And they're all being put together, and they become adoration in action. Adoration of the infinite in action. We are on the receiving side. It's time for us to reap the rewards because we have given so much. So what it is that we are being asked to do is we are being asked by dedicating our life, our work, our daily tasks in adoration, like an offering on the altar of the infinite, but it has to be a very wholesome offering, which means we can't do drudgery and say, I'm doing this for God. It has to be a song of the heart. It has to be a place where there's joy and there's delight in what we're doing. If we allow ourselves to bring delight to others and to receive delight from others, which we can only do when we live in the full awareness of the moment, my brothers and sisters, we are living in adoration. Many people say to me, how is it that I can whip up adoration for something that I can't properly see? Well, you can. You can see the infinite in the mirrors. You can see the exquisite preening of the peacock. You can see the gentleness of the rabbit that cuddles its little tiny baby rabbits in its hutch. You can see the dedication of the bear mother who gives her very ounces of fat to feed her little new cubs until there's food for them. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in the beauty of the perfection of plant life. My brother Todd wrote such a beautiful letter. I've actually asked him. We have a section where students can put their thoughts on, and I've asked the Master Todd from Toronto if he will please put this on. But he wrote a beautiful section on plants, how we have used them and taken them for granted as though they have no abilities, as though they are simply nothing because they are not mobile or because they are not a type of life form that we see as highly conscious. Yet within them was held the profound gateways and mirrors, as they're called, of magic. Magic powerful enough to change our life so profoundly and without enslaving us. Because the plants we have used, yes, it's changed life profoundly, but those have been used in the wrong way. Those are warrior plants, and they can conquer the human spirit if they are used the wrong way. The plant magic is as profound, but it is designed like all these incorruptible, pure bodies of the revealing of the perfection of the design that underlies the sub-creations that man puts over the top. Things are not the way they look. Many things have had their real part removed. If you read on my blog, you will see that duty no longer is a reality. And, you know, for a long time I had carried around this little saying in my pocket that I slept and dreamt that life was duty, and I awoke and found that life was beauty. The beauty of life is what we're asked now to delight in. The more delight we have, the more we fulfill the very last portion of our destiny. In the Toronto class, the Master Tim from Florida was able to take the most beautiful interdimensional photographs, and a lot of it is on the earth magic, whitemagic.com, incorruptiblewhitemagic.com. A lot of it is on there, but he was able to film the architectural details of the city that lies, it lies among us. But we have to let go of this sub-creation that denies that it's there. And in one instance, the beautiful gold detailing of what looks like carved, you know, woodwork or stucco that's gilded or something, we were able to see pillars in a room that had no pillars. We were able to see beautiful windows in a room that had no windows. And so we're able, more and more, we were also able to film the windows in Colorado during that class. We are starting a brand new class on Monday. I'm sure that great things will come of it, my brothers and sisters. And next Saturday, I will share that with you. But the bottom line of it is, we are living with the holy city among us. People often write to me that for an instant, they have a glimpse of this pristine perfection, the elegance and grace of a city among us that we are not seeing with our physical eyes the way as much as we would like to. When we were in Toronto, I believe that I spoke about the multiple cities in different countries, and I think it was there that Mother said, no, you need to be corrected. And I said, what is it? And she said, when the city appears, it will not just be one place. It will be all over the earth. wherever there is life, there are currently cities, it will be replaced. And it brought to mind an event that I had in 2005. In 2005, I was a little bit like a child in a candy shop. And I did not expect to burst into the spiritual gifts to the extent that Mother thrust them on me simply because of the work that I had to do for her. She sent me all over the cosmos, and I had to be able to do what I needed to do. So she gave me tremendous gifts. She put a seer stone into my forehead as part of my third eye, which has enabled me to speak all these multiple languages, translate basically any language that I need to, and it's because of that. Well, one of the things that happened is I was exploring just for fun. She had given me 6 spirits to work with me and 2 dragons. And we were exploring for fun, and we found under a street in a city in India. I believe that it was 6, but it might have been 12. I don't think I wrote about this in any of my books, but it was green glass bottles with a surrounding gold filigree. In it was a dark green liquid, and if you drank the liquid, it would give you immortal life. It's part of the ancient time of Inanna or Isis. Isis had a younger sister. Isis's younger sister wanted to hide this from Isis's brother, Utu, U-T-U. And Utu actually had the northern Scandinavian areas as his territory. And so Utu wanted this, and the younger sister of Isis didn't want him to have it. She hid it there. And eventually it became a street in some town, a medium-sized town in India. I wanted it out of there in a very, very big way. I asked the dragon if he could get it out. He said he could only get it out if he became physical. It would take him so long to become physical. But he said that, you know, he ran a tremendous risk going into a city, even in the middle of night, to get them out. We could not teleport them out. You will see the wheel of teleportation that in the year 2005 worked very well up until about August of that year. And actually a little bit beyond, it worked well until October. But my brothers and sisters, we couldn't teleport it out. And we couldn't transport it or any way change dimensions with it because it would have interfered with the frequency. I wanted very much to have it. So I said, okay, look, what happens if we go into the future? Is there a time that this town isn't there? And you know, when we went into the future, because I was trying to go perhaps to the future and to get these bottles and then bring it back with me to the past. And when I tried to do that in the future, the city had changed into a magnificent, golden, pristine, holy city. And everywhere, all the buildings had been replaced by it. And the streets were literally paved with a gold. And so that's what I saw in the future. That is exactly what we are looking at. The whole earth is to become that. Part of man's destiny is to bring it in. We bring it in by believing in it. And the more we can do the photographs, the more I can put it up on the website, the more you can see it. You know, in the Colorado ones, we saw the windows in a totally windowless basement, but they weren't as luminous as the Master Tim's ones, so we only have those up. And it would be on the incorruptiblewhitemagic.com. And I believe either that's up or it'll go up on Monday or Tuesday. But the more you can see it, the more you can believe it, the more you can believe it, the more you can live in a place of adoration and make it happen. We'll be right back after these messages.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, ascension. Almeen's gift as a mystic are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize and Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeenspiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
The doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
We have mentioned that we want to talk tonight about this total cleansing of artificial intelligence that has happened cosmically. My brothers and sisters, a couple of years ago, I became aware that there were these few behind the scenes that were governing governments and so on. And they numbered basically from 1 to 9, in not specifically that order of hierarchy, with 10 as a liaison, and then all the way down to 15. 15 was the brain in terms of that they told him what needed to be done. But what they saw and what kept him busy is he was trying to have people time travel. They were able to time travel, but the problem is that I don't think, and I might be mistaken on this, but I don't think that they got beyond observer mode. It's easy to time travel and stay in observer mode. It is far more skilled for a mystic to travel and be able to actually affect something, to move a can on a table or a clock off a chair or whatever, rather than just time travel and just see there. But they saw a time when the Earth would be invaded by what they saw as artificial intelligences. The artificial intelligences that they saw were not created by the infinite, and were in fact part of creations by those mirror images of the infinite that we spoke of in great detail over our last 2 weeks of communication, the Watchers. The Watchers, my brothers and sisters, they created the equivalent of what would have been, if you add up all the beings totally, 52% of the cosmic beings. And they made them from fields and from a fabric, if you will, of existence. They were like living robots that simulated emotions. And these beings, their goal was to infiltrate the Earth. The Earth has always been the pivot point. Every being for years that I have spoken to have said the Earth is the pivot point. The future rests and falls on this Earth. Well, they knew that. And so not only did they infiltrate some of the races cosmically, but they infiltrated some of the Earth's races. And they infiltrated governmental positions. They would, you know, just wipe out the people that are there, simulate them, go into their position, and change the memories. And that was one of the big things, is they were able to change memory. to reflect the way they wanted it to seem, as though, for instance, they have been in position for years, and as though this family member has been in your family for years, when it isn't, it's an artificial implant into the family, but they could change memories. And these, they were told, because these nine people worked actually with some of the Star Brothers. They were told that this was coming, and in their time travels, they saw that suddenly life on Earth changed. This was part of the very bad dream we have exited. But those beings were totally wiped out. And I just this morning had somebody tell me, she's a wonderful shaman, that came to me, and she said, look, Almin, why are so many people dying, even young people, for no reason? And, well, part of it is we've had, I'm not saying everybody that's dying is a soulless body, but we've had multiple soulless bodies on Earth that needed to die. You know, but the thing at the same time was that I've repeated this constantly, that it is not the intention of the infinite, because it has been said to me over and over, to create global catastrophes. There will be localized areas, perhaps, but even that, each time we move up, is becoming less and less and less necessary. And at this point, the future is looking wonderfully rosy. You know, at the beginning of this month, everybody was saying on the 13th of October, such and such was going to happen. And I was this voice in the desert that said, no, things are going to shift around. Money is going to shift around, because Mother has said that that which is overinflated should get its due. Hence, the stock market situation, etc. Well, at the same time, while things are being put into their proper order, there is a bolstering. So we're not going to go into this major global collapse. And every time one of the major pillars of the temple gets the overcoming in their own life, makes a transition from a duty-filled life to a life that's lived with passion and heart, every time we are a little closer to heaven on earth. We're a little closer to manifesting the beauty of the city. We've made the future that much better for our children and for ourselves. So my brothers and sisters, you know, I spoke recently to somebody who spoke about those who, you know, she was saying, is in control of a lot of the banking and the finances. And I said, no, they're not. You are. This day, if you can simply allow your inner child to come out, if you can allow your wild woman to come out, the wild man that's the adventurer, explorer, if you can live a life of beauty and grace and balance this day, abundantly giving to yourself, abundance flows everywhere on earth. We think that those beings might be in control. They're not. It is the pillars of the temple, and that's the end of the story. They may be a school teacher in Minnesota, or, you know, or a clerk in Cape Town, or a judge in England. But the bottom line of it is, wherever they are, every time they choose the high road, life becomes better. So, in this way, we are, in fact, the leadership. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about a new heaven and a new earth, and that's what I want to speak with you about, which is happening this weekend. There is an entire renewal going on this weekend. On Monday, you will feel how much purer the cosmos is. You may even find that you're detoxing over this weekend. Why is this? My brothers and sisters, two things had to be wiped out completely, and so it required, in the twinkling of an eye, that life be remade. We won't even know it happened. We'll just feel the effect of it. Number one. Now, I don't speak computer language. I wish that people that did were here to explain it to you, but if there is a memory that you place in your computer where memory goes. And you keep erasing it and putting new information in, erasing it, putting new information in. It actually deteriorates the place where all this is going on. Well, the same for the cosmic space. Where the cosmos has taken place, each time it's been erased, redone, and eventually the space itself does not have the integrity that it needs to. So a new space within the infinite being, a new, let's call it, because there is not really any space. If you look at my diary of a few days ago, I go into that. But what there is an area of intent. The area of intent within the infinite being was shifted. The bucket inside the ocean is still inside the ocean. There is no real differentiation, but the bucket was changed from one place to the other. That's number one. Number two, if you take slides, and you take, say, 60 slides, and you run them very, very, very fast in order, what it's going to look like is that you're going to end up with a lot of little horizontal lines. Because as you replace one slide with the next, there is a little dark edge where one slide begins and the other one ends. We have created new cycles, new cycles, new cycles. And what it's left is the little edges. And the little edges are the old programming that keeps seeping in, particularly in the physical. And so the infinite has erased that. And since the moment that was done, I noticed signs of detoxification happening in my own body, because the cosmos is being detoxifying, and it started about a day or two ago. So everything, once this is cleared, is going to be entirely remade. And so we've had all these signs speaking to us about Monday being the new moon. The symbolism for new moon is new beginnings. So Monday is the day of new beginnings. Let us decide how we're going to live the rest of our life. Because it is as though we are born for the first time. Man's rewards on earth is coming back. We have been given sigils, which are signs that we can do that are potent to heal the waters, to heal the air, to heal the plants, to heal the ocean plants under the water, to heal the trees. The trees have been in communication, their archetypal spirit, with the oracle Hong An, with the oracle Karen. The roots are coming through the oracle Ifa. I think the oracle Denisa might have also received some back a few weeks ago, I'm not sure. But the point is, they're giving us the means to heal our own environment. Then on top of that, we are receiving the great gifts to create a life of self-empowerment. And every time we use those gifts, we leave the cosmos in our debt, and more gifts have to be given. My brothers and sisters, when all life is recreated, all are going to be recreated in wholeness and at once. In doing that, man no longer has to carry, like Atlas, the earth upon its shoulders. All life is equal as an archetype. And this is happening over this next day or two. So a great phew, sigh of relief for humankind. We've done our job, and we've done it well. Thank you so much for joining me this hour, and I'll speak to you again next week, and I'm sure you want to see the exciting things that will happen, which always does, when we have pod this week, this whole week, so join us on our blog. Thank you, my brothers and sisters.
Hope you have enjoyed today's show, Opening the Doors of Heaven with Almin. You can listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Sedona Talk Radio. That's every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.